If you own a home in Westchester County, especially if you're, say, 62 or older, you're probably sitting on a pretty substantial amount of home equity. It's a fantastic asset, right? But here's the challenge a lot of folks face. Those, well, notoriously steep property taxes and just the rising cost of living around here, it can really put a squeeze on retirement cash flow, even with all that wealth tied up in your home. So what if there was a way to unlock a portion of that equity, maybe turn it into tax-free cash, and get this, even eliminate your monthly mortgage payments, all without having to sell your home or, you know, pack up and move? That's precisely what we're diving into today, the Westchester Reverse Mortgage. Officially, it's known as the Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, or HECM for short.
Exactly. And that's really our mission in this deep dive today, to guide you through how these unique financial tools actually work. We want to highlight why Westchester's market specifically requires some special consideration, clarify those essential qualification requirements, and ultimately help you figure out if the strategy really aligns with your specific long-term retirement plan. And just to be clear, all the insights we're sharing are drawn directly from the source material provided on, well, Westchester Reverse Mortgages specifically.
Okay, so for those maybe familiar with home equity lines or refis, this HECM thing, it sounds related, but it's fundamentally different from a standard mortgage, isn't it? So to start, can you really unpack what a reverse mortgage is at its core? And who's it generally designed to help?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's break it down. At its core, a home equity conversion mortgage, a HECM, it's basically a financial tool that lets you convert a portion of your home equity into cash. It's really designed for homeowners, typically 62 and older, who want to access their home's value without, you know, having to sell it. And you have flexible options for how you actually get these funds. It could be a single lump sum payment upfront, or regular monthly payments that can continue for as long as you live in the home and, you know, meet your obligations, or maybe a line of credit you can draw from as needed. You can even do a combination of these. And crucially, this is a point that often gets misunderstood. You absolutely keep ownership. You retain the title to your home.
Okay, that's a big one. Retaining ownership.
Definitely. Now, repayment. That's also unique. It only comes due in specific situations, like when the home is eventually sold, or if you move out and live somewhere else for 12 months or more, or when the last borrower on the loan passes away. The big benefit here, the one most people focus on, is that while you're living in the property, you are not required to make any monthly principal and interest payments.
No P&I payments. Wow.
Right. Now, interest does accrue on the balance over time. That's important to understand. But that monthly payment obligation, it's gone. We mostly see two main types, the federally insured HECMs, those are the most common, and then proprietary jumbo loans, which are tailored for, higher value properties like you often find in Westchester.
That elimination of monthly payments alone must be a huge relief for many retirees.
Yeah.
But beyond that, what are the other sort of core benefits that really make this option so appealing? Especially for someone living in a high-cost area like Westchester.
Well, you hit on the first one, that immediate cash flow relief from getting rid of your existing mortgage payment. That's often the primary driver. Think about the peace of mind that brings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then there's the incredible flexibility in how you access the funds. You know, whether it's having that security of a growing line of credit for emergencies, or maybe those consistent monthly payments to supplement income, or a lump sum for a big specific need. But perhaps the most reassuring feature really is its non-recourse nature.
Non-recourse. Explain that a bit more.
Sure. This isn't just some legal fine print. It's a fundamental protection. It means that you or your heirs later on will never owe more than the home's actual value when it's sold. Doesn't matter how high the loan balance might grow with accrued interest. You're protected. Your estate is protected.
So even if the housing market dips significantly.
Exactly. Even then, the FHA insurance on most HECMs covers the difference if the home sells for less than the loan balance. It offers really unparalleled peace of mind that very few other financial products provide. It effectively safeguards your family from, you know, potentially inheriting debt tied to the house itself.
That's a huge protection. Does that ever lead to confusion? Like, do heirs sometimes not realize that and worry unnecessarily?
It absolutely can, which is why counseling and clear communication are so vital. Mm. Some heirs, not fully grasping the non-recourse feature, might initially worry they're on the hook for a large debt, when in reality, they have very clear options. They can choose to keep the home by paying off the loan balance or 95% of the appraised value, whichever is less, or they can sell the home and keep any remaining equity after the loan is paid. Or if there's no equity, they can simply hand the keys back to the lender with absolutely no personal liability. It's a point we always, always emphasize.
Okay. that clarity is key. But of course, with any financial tool, nothing's ever completely simple, right? There are always responsibilities. What are the key obligations someone really needs to be aware of if they're seriously considering a reverse mortgage?
You're absolutely right. It's vital to see the whole picture. So while you don't make those monthly mortgage payments, you, the homeowner, must stay current on your property taxes. You have to pay your homeowner's insurance premiums, and you need to maintain the home in reasonably good repair. Basically, you have to keep up your end of the bargain.
Like the basic responsibilities of homeownership.
Exactly. It's also important to understand that the loan balance does grow over time. That's because interest, plus any mortgage insurance premiums, compound on the outstanding balance. And typically, the upfront fees, things like origination fees, mortgage insurance, appraisal costs, they are generally higher compared to a standard refinance or HELOC.
You mentioned those higher upfront fees. That's something people often point to. In the grand scheme, how significant are those, really? Especially when you weigh them against the long-term benefits for a typical Westchester homeowner who plans to stay put.
That's a really great question, and it's where careful long-term planning comes in. Yes, the upfront fees are higher, no question. But for a homeowner who intends to remain in their Westchester home for, say, 10, 15, 20 years or more, the long-term financial impact of eliminating those monthly principal and interest payments combined with that flexible access to funds and the critical non-recourse protection, well, it often outweighs those initial costs significantly. It becomes less about the initial sticker shock and much more about the overall financial flexibility and, frankly, peace of mind it can provide over potentially decades of retirement.
Okay, that makes sense. It's a long-term view. Now that we've got a handle on the basics of how a reverse mortgage works, it naturally leads to comparing it with other ways people tap into home equity. So when we look at a reverse mortgage versus, say, a home equity line of credit, a 8ELOC, or maybe a cash out refinance, what are the really core differences people need to grasp?
Yeah, this is a crucial distinction because they all involve your equity, but they serve very, very different purposes and have different implications. Let's break down the key factors side by side.
Okay.
First, monthly payments. This is a big one. A reverse mortgage, generally none required until the loan matures, as we discussed, a HELOC. You'll typically make interest-only payments during the draw period, then principal and interest payments later. With a cash-out refinance, you start making P&I payments on the full new loan amount immediately.
Right, immediate payments there.
Second, access to funds. Again, very different. Reverse mortgage offers that great flexibility. Lump sum, monthly payments, that growing line of credit, or a mix. A HELOC gives you a revolving credit line, kind of like a credit card secured by your home to a certain limit. A cash-out refi, it's just a single, one-time lump sum payout.
Got it. Lump sum versus line or payments.
Third, interest accrual. With reverse mortgages and ETLOCs, interest generally only accrues on the amount you've actually drawn or received. With a cash out refi, interest starts accruing on the entire new loan amount right from day one, whether you've spent the cash or not.
Okay. That's a key difference.
Then the repayment trigger, perhaps the biggest differentiator. For a reverse mortgage, remember, it's typically selling the home, moving out permanently, or the death of the last borrower. For ETLOs and cash-out refinances, repayment is tied to a fixed monthly payment schedule right from the start.
So fundamentally different structures.
Exactly. And finally, maybe thinking about what they're best for. A reverse mortgage really excels at providing payment relief and supporting longevity planning, giving you control over cash flow and retirement without forcing a move. A HELOC is often better suited for short-term needs, maybe like funding home renovations where you'll pay it back relatively quickly. And a cash-out refinance might suit a situation where you need a large chunk of cash for a specific one-time purpose, like paying off high-interest debt or maybe college tuition, and you're comfortable with taking on immediate, potentially higher monthly payments.
That's a really clear comparison.
One important footnote, though. Always, always confirm the tax deductibility of any mortgage interest with your tax professional. Rules can change, and everyone's individual situation is unique.
Good advice. Okay, this is all incredibly insightful, but let's pivot back to Westchester specifically. Why does this county in particular demand such careful consideration when it comes to reverse mortgages? You mentioned unique factors earlier. What are they?
Yes, there absolutely are. And it's really a critical point for listeners in this area. Westchester isn't like everywhere else, and that impacts how a reverse mortgage strategy should be approached. First, the obvious one, high property values. It's just a fact of life here.
Right.
The median single-family home price, as you know, is well north of $750,000, often much higher. This means many Westchester homeowners automatically qualify for significantly larger reverse mortgage principal limits compared to national averages. And it makes those proprietary jumbo options loans above the standard FHA limit a much more relevant and often attractive choice for unlocking substantial amounts of equity.
So potentially more cash available.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
Second, and this is huge, the complex and notoriously high property taxes.
Ugh, don't remind me.
Right. Westchester has some of the highest property tax burdens in the nation. For retirees, this isn't just a minor detail. It's an ongoing substantial financial obligation. Even if a reverse mortgage eliminates your P&I payment, you must budget carefully and have a plan to cover those hefty tax bills year after year. It's a non-negotiable part of the deal.
A crucial planning point.
Absolutely. And third, something maybe less obvious but still important. Westchester actually has an increasingly aging-friendly infrastructure. There are various local programs, sometimes grants, that support things like in-home care or home modifications for accessibility. This aligns really well with how many people strategically use reverse mortgage proceeds, maybe to install a stair lift, widen doorways, or make energy-efficient upgrades to age in place comfortably.
Interesting connect.
Yeah, so if you connect these dots, the big picture is that a successful reverse mortgage strategy tailored for a Westchester homeowner has to carefully balance accessing that significant home equity with a realistic, sustainable plan for managing these major ongoing local costs, especially property taxes. It's about optimizing for staying in your home long-term in a very specific high-cost environment.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So for someone listening in Westchester, maybe nodding along thinking, this sounds like it could help me.
Yeah.
Who actually qualifies? What's the checklist? And what does the journey look like, you know, from first interest to actually getting the funds?
Okay, let's walk through the general eligibility and the qualification basics, focusing first on the standard FHA HECM. First, age. The youngest borrower on the loan must be at least 62 years old. Second, residency. The property must be your primary residence. You have to live there most of the year. Eligible property types generally include single-family homes, some FHA-approved condos, that's an important check to make for condo owners, and even 2-4 unit properties, as long as you occupy one of the units yourself.
Okay, 62 plus loan, primary residence, eligible property type, what else?
Equity. You generally need to have substantial equity built up. A good rule of thumb is roughly 50% or more equity after accounting for any existing mortgage or liens that need to be paid off by the reverse mortgage. Then there's the mandatory counseling. You have to complete a counseling session with a HUD-approved agency.
That's the educational piece you mentioned.
Exactly. It's designed to ensure you fully understand the loan, the obligations, the costs, and the alternatives. The certificate you get is valid for 180 days. And finally, there's a financial assessment. The lender will review your credit history, income sources, and your ability to reliably pay those ongoing property charges, taxes, insurance, etc.
So it's not just about equity. There's a financial check, too.
Correct. It's about ensuring the loan is sustainable for you long term. Now, for those with homes valued above the FHA limit, which for 2025 is set at $11,149,825, there are those proprietary or jumbo reverse mortgages. These are offered by private lenders and can provide loan amounts potentially up to $4 million, sometimes even more. And interestingly, some select lenders offering these jumbo products may have a minimum borrower age as low as 55, not 62.
That's 55 for some jumbos. That's a key difference.
It can be, yes. But it's important to note that the terms, interest rates, and costs for jumbo loans can vary more widely than HECM, so careful comparison shopping is essential there.
Makes sense. Okay, so someone thinks they might qualify. What documents should they start gathering right now to make the application process smoother and maybe faster?
Good question. Being prepared definitely helps. You'll want to pull together your government-issued photo ID, like a driver's license, and your Social Security card. Your most recent mortgage statement, if you have one, your latest property tax bill, and your current homeowner's insurance declaration page that shows your coverage details. Also helpful are about 2 months of recent bank statements, just showing regular activity. And of course, that HUD counseling certificate once you've completed the session. Oh, and if you live in a community with a homeowners association, proof of your HOA dues.
Okay, getting those ducks in a row early sounds like a good idea.
Definitely speeds things up. The more organized you are up front, the smoother the underwriting process tends to go.
So for our listeners, how can they do a quick sort of self-check, a readiness assessment? And then what's the typical roadmap, the steps involved once they decide to actually apply?
Okay, a quick self-assessment is pretty straightforward. Ask yourself these questions. Am I 62 or older? Or maybe 55 plus if I'm looking at a jumbo option for a high-value home. Do I plan to stay living in my Westchester home as my primary residence for the long term? Can I realistically afford to keep paying property taxes, homeowners insurance, and handle basic home maintenance? And finally, if I have a current mortgage, can it be paid off completely using the proceeds from the reverse mortgage?
So if the answer is mostly yes to those.
If you're nodding yes to those, then you're definitely in a good position to seriously explore your options and talk to a qualified lender or counselor. As for the application roadmap, the typical flow looks something like this. Step one, usually a discovery call with a loan officer. They'll confirm basic eligibility, discuss your goals, and give you a preliminary estimate based on your age, home value, and interest rates. Step two, complete that mandatory HUD counseling session we talked about.
Get the certificate.
Right. Step three, submit your formal application and all the required disclosures. This authorizes the lender to pull your credit report and order title work. Step four, the appraisal happens, someone comes to assess your home's market value, and the lender completes their financial assessment based on the documents you provided. Step five, you'll hopefully receive conditional approval. At this stage, you might need to provide final documentation, maybe updated insurance info, payoff statements for existing liens, or proof if any minor home repairs were required. Step six, closing. You sign the final loan documents. There's then usually a 3 business day right of rescission period where you can still change your mind.
Except for purchase loans, right?
Correct. No rescission period if you're using a HECM to buy a HUD. After rescission, the loan funds. Step seven, you choose how you want to receive your funds, that lump sum, monthly payments, line of credit, or a combination.
That sounds pretty thorough. Any fast track tips?
Yeah, a few things can help. Collect all those property documents before your counseling session so you have them handy. Try to avoid making any big financial changes during the underwriting process, like taking out new loans or making large unexplained deposits. Keep things stable. And maybe for unique or very high-end homes in Westchester, sometimes requesting a second appraisal, if the first seems low, might be worth considering to potentially maximize your eligible proceeds. Check with your lender on that possibility.
Okay, great tips. So now the loan is closed, the funds are available. What are some of the most strategic, maybe most impactful ways people right here in Westchester are actually using these reverse mortgage proceeds? It's not just about getting cash, right? It seems like it's more about strategically shifting the flow of retirement income.
That's exactly right. It's about using the equity strategically. We see a real variety of impactful uses. A big one is simply supplementing income, especially in those early retirement years before maybe Social Security or pension benefits fully kick in. It provides a crucial bridge.
Smoothing out income.
Precisely. Another common use is paying off high interest credit card debt or other consumer loans. And the key benefit here is that using loan proceeds to pay debt generally doesn't trigger taxable income, unlike, say, withdrawing from a 401k.
That's a significant tax advantage.
It can be huge. Funds are also very frequently used for home modifications, things that allow people to age in place more safely and comfortably. Installing stair lifts, renovating a bathroom for accessibility, maybe putting in more energy efficient windows or heating systems.
Investing back into the home to stay there longer.
Exactly. And for many, setting up that line of credit is incredibly strategic. It's not just a pot of money sitting there, it's a safety net. What's unique is that the unused portion of the HECM line of credit actually grows over time, independent of home value changes, at the same rate as the loan's interest and mortgage insurance accrue.
So the available credit can increase.
Yes. It provides a growing reserve that can be tapped later for unexpected expenses, healthcare costs, major home repairs, you name it. It acts like a sleep at night fund that appreciates. I actually recall a client over in Scarsdale who did something really smart with their line of credit. They drew on it strategically only during significant stock market downturns.
Instead of selling investments low.
Exactly. They used the reverse mortgage line of credit to cover living expenses temporarily, avoiding the need to sell their portfolio assets at a loss. Then, when the market recovered, they could replenish funds if needed or just let the investments grow. It was a brilliant kind of counterintuitive way to use it for portfolio protection.
Wow, that's clever. Using it as a buffer against market volatility.
It can be a very sophisticated tool in the right hands. And finally, some people do use the funds as a sort of bridge, maybe accessing equity now with the plan to eventually downsize later in retirement, using the cash to facilitate that transition smoothly.
Really diverse strategies there. That market volatility buffer is fascinating. Now, we've highlighted a lot of the significant benefits, and those strategic uses are compelling. But it's equally important, maybe even more so, to clearly understand the ongoing responsibilities and the potential risks. What are the common pitfalls, or maybe things people sometimes overlook until it's too late?
Absolutely. Having that complete picture is critical. We've touched on some, but let's reiterate. First and foremost, you must continue to pay your property taxes on time. You must pay your homeowner's insurance premiums, and if applicable, any HOA dues. Failing to meet these obligations can lead to default on the loan, and the lender could potentially foreclose even though you weren't making monthly P&I payments.
So those property charges are non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. Second, remember, the loan balance increases over time because of that compounding interest in mortgage insurance premiums. This reduces the equity remaining in the home over the long term. Third, think about occupancy. Extended time away from the home, typically defined as 12 consecutive months or more, can trigger the loan becoming due and payable. So it's really designed for people planning to live there permanently.
Not for snowbirds who are gone half the year elsewhere.
Well, being gone for, say, 4 or 5 months is usually fine, but a full year away continuously could be an issue. You need to maintain it as your primary residence. Fourth, you do need to maintain the home in reasonable condition. Significant deterioration could potentially violate the loan terms. And fifth, while less common or predictable, significant downturns in the housing market could reduce or even eliminate the remaining equity over time. But, and this is the crucial safety net we keep coming back to, it bears repeating, the loan is non-recourse.
Right. That protection.
That protection. Neither you nor your heirs will ever be personally liable or owe more than the home's value at the time it's sold to satisfy the loan. That's a fundamental safeguard.
Okay. Responsibilities clear. Risks understood. Non-recourse protection is key. Now, given the very unique landscape of Westchester we've discussed, the high values, the high taxes, are there any specific local tips or maybe resources that homeowners here considering a reverse mortgage should absolutely know about, things specific to this area?
Definitely. Yeah. Leveraging local resources can really make a difference for Westchester homeowners. First, taxes. Make absolutely sure you're filing for any property tax exemptions you're entitled to. That includes the basic STAR exemption, and if you qualify based on age and income, the enhanced STAR exemption. These directly reduce your school tax bill, which is often the largest part of your property tax burden here.
STAR and enhanced STAR.
Absolutely. Also, check your eligibility for the Senior Citizens Homeowner Exemption, often called SCHE. This provides additional property tax relief based on age and income limits set by the local municipality. Every dollar saved on taxes helps.
Good point. What else?
If you're planning home improvements using some of the reverse mortgage funds, look into pairing them with New York State energy grants or programs like those offered through NYCERTA. You might be able to get grants or low-cost financing for energy-efficient upgrades, effectively stretching your reverse mortgage dollars further.
Combining resources. Smart.
Yeah. For the required HUD counseling, utilize convenient, reputable local agencies. There's Westchester Residential Opportunities. They have an office in White Plains. Community Housing Innovations is another good one, based in Yonkers. Using local counselors often means they're more familiar with Westchester-specific issues.
Local expertise helps.
It can. And finally, a practical tip. If you are using funds for home modifications and hiring contractors, always verify their licenses and check for complaints with the Westchester County Department of Consumer Protection. Protect yourself from potential scams or shoddy work.
Excellent local advice. Thank you. Now, let's tackle some myths. There are, let's face it, a lot of misconceptions, maybe even some fear-mongering floating around about reverse mortgages. What are the biggest myths you hear all the time? And what's the actual reality our listeners need to understand?
You are so right. There are definitely some persistent myths out there that unfortunately deter people who could genuinely benefit. Let's debunk a few of the big ones. Myth number one, the bank takes ownership of my house.
Hear that one a lot.
All the time. Reality, absolutely false. You, the homeowner, retain title and ownership of your home throughout the life of the loan. The lender simply places a lien on the property exactly like they do with a traditional mortgage. You own the house. Myth number two, I might outlive the loan or the payments could stop. Reality. If you choose 10-year payments, the option designed to pay you monthly for life, those payments are structured to continue for as long as you live in the home and meet your basic loan obligations, paying taxes, insurance, maintaining the home. You won't outlive properly structured 10-year payments.
Okay, so 10-year payments are designed for longevity.
Precisely. Myth number three, my kids will be stuck inheriting my debt. Reality. This is probably the biggest fear factor, and it's based on misunderstanding the non-recourse feature. As we've said, your heirs inherit the property, not the debt personally. They have clear choices. Pay off the loan at 95% of appraisal value if the debt is higher, sell the house and keep any leftover equity, or simply give the property to the lender with zero personal liability if the loan balance exceeds the home's value. They are not on the hook.
Crucial clarification. What's another one?
Myth number four, condos don't qualify. Reality. While it's true that not all condos are eligible, many do qualify, especially if the condo project is FHA approved. There are specific guidelines, but it's definitely not a blanket no. Some proprietary jumbo loans also have options for condos that might not meet FHA standards. So if you live in a condo, don't assume you're an eligible check.
Good to know. Okay, myths busted. What about some of the more specific practical questions our listeners might have as they get deeper into considering this? For example, are the funds you receive actually taxable?
Yeah, let's hit some common FAQs. Are the funds taxable? Generally, no. Because the money you receive from a reverse mortgage is considered a loan advance against your own equity, it's typically not treated as taxable income by the IRS.
So not like withdrawing from an IRA.
Exactly. It's loan proceeds, not income. But as always, definitely consult with your CPA or tax advisor about your specific financial situation. Don't rely on general advice for tax matters.
Okay. How long does the whole process typically take, say, here in New York?
From starting with counseling to actually closing and funding the loan, a typical time frame in New York is usually around 45 to 60 days. Sometimes a bit faster, sometimes a bit longer, depending on appraisal turn times, title work, and how quickly you provide needed documents.
So figure about a month and a half to 2 months.
That's a reasonable expectation, yes. Having those documents ready early, like we discussed, can definitely help keep things moving closer to the 45-day end.
What if you still owe money on your current existing mortgage? Can you still get a reverse mortgage?
Absolutely. In fact, that's very common. The proceeds from the new reverse mortgage are used first to pay off any existing mortgage liens or home equity lines of credit completely. That payoff happens right at the closing.
So it replaces the old mortgage?
Correct. It has to be the primary lien on the property.
What about New York co-ops? Do they qualify? That's a big question in parts of Westchester.
That's a really important local question. Traditional FHA-insured HECMs, the most common type, generally exclude cooperative apartments. Co-ops have a different ownership structure. However, some proprietary lenders, those offering the jumbo or non-FHA loans, do have specific programs designed for co-op owners in places like New York. So if you own a co-op, you'd need to seek out lenders who offer those specialized proprietary co-op reverse mortgage products.
So not FHA. But potentially proprietary options exist. Good to know. What happens if your spouse is younger than the minimum age, like under 62 for a HECM?
Great question. If one spouse meets the age requirement, for example, 62 plus, but the other is younger, the younger spouse can be designated as a non-borrowing spouse. This provides important protections. The non-borrowing spouse can continue living in the home for the rest of their life, even after the borrowing spouse passes away, provided they continue to meet the loan obligations, paying taxes, insurance, maintaining the home, and ensuring the loan doesn't become otherwise due.
So the younger spouse isn't forced out.
Correct, as long as those conditions are met. It was a significant rule change a few years back to provide that protection. They just need to be properly listed on the loan documents from the beginning.
Okay. Could taking out a reverse mortgage, especially a lump sum, mess up eligibility for needs-based programs like Medicaid?
That's a very important consideration, and the answer is potentially yes, depending on how you take the funds. Receiving a large lump sum could push your liquid assets over the eligibility limits for programs like Medicaid or Supplemental Security Income, SSI. However, receiving funds as regular monthly payments, tenure or term, or holding them in the line of credit and only drawing small amounts as needed, often has less impact or no impact on eligibility because those aren't usually counted as assets until drawn and spent. But this area is complex and state-specific. It is absolutely crucial to consult with an experienced elder law attorney before finalizing a reverse mortgage if maintaining eligibility for these benefits is a concern.
Get specialized legal advice on that one. Got it.
Definitely. Is it ever possible to refinance an existing reverse mortgage? Yes, it is. It's often called a HECM to HECM refinance. People might do this if their home value has increased significantly since they took out the first loan, allowing them to access more equity. Or perhaps if interest rates have fallen substantially, potentially lowering the rate on their existing balance or on future draws from a line of credit. Lenders will typically look to see if the refinance provides a significant tangible benefit to the borrower, often requiring that you can access at least 10% more equity or achieve significant savings.
So refi is possible under the right conditions.
Yes. And finally, how exactly do the heirs handle repaying the loan after the last borrower is gone? What's that process like?
Okay, so once the lender is notified that the last borrower has passed away, the loan becomes due and payable. The heirs or the estate typically have an initial 6-month period to decide how they want to proceed. Their main options are 1, pay off the loan balance in full and keep the home. They might do this with their own funds or by getting a new mortgage. Remember, they only owe what's due or 95% of the home's value, whichever is less. 2, sell the property. They'd use the sale proceeds to pay off the reverse mortgage loan balance, and any equity left over after the sale and closing costs belongs to them or the estate. 3, if there's no equity or they don't want the house, they can choose to deed the property back to the lender, sometimes called a deed in lieu of foreclosure. In this case, they walk away with no further obligation, thanks to that non-recourse feature. They can usually request extensions beyond the initial 6 months, typically up to 2 additional 90-day extensions, if they need more time, for instance, to finalize a sale, provided they're making progress.
Okay, clear options and a defined time frame for the heirs. That seems manageable. Wow. Okay, so stepping back, what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've really taken a deep dive into reverse mortgages today, specifically looking through the unique lens of the Westchester market. We've covered everything from the absolute basics to navigating the qualification process, understanding the strategic uses, and being clear-eyed about the risks and rewards.
Exactly. And if we were to recap the most crucial takeaways, I think they'd be recognizing Westchester's high home equity potential, which can unlock sizable tax-free cash for many homeowners here. Understanding the flexibility these funds offer, lump sum, income stream, line of credit, but balancing that with the non-negotiable ongoing obligations, especially paying those significant property taxes and insurance. Appreciating why local factors matter so much here, managing high costs, yes, but also leveraging local resources like tax exemptions and aging-friendly programs. We've laid out the clear qualification criteria, age, equity, residency, counseling, financial assessment, and the typical application timeline. Seeing the strategic uses beyond just getting cash, supplementing income, paying debt tax efficiently, funding home mods, creating that growing safety net, and always remembering that critical non-recourse nature of the loan, offering that vital peace of mind for you and your heirs. Plus, the importance of using those local Westchester resources we mentioned.
That's a great summary. It really brings it all together. And this, I think, raises a really important question for you to consider as you process all this information. How does understanding this complex yet potentially powerful financial tool truly empower you to make more informed, more confident decisions about your own home equity and your retirement future, particularly living right here in the unique context of Westchester County?
And perhaps taking that one step further, with all the complexities involved in managing retirement finances today, and knowing the very distinctive financial pressures and opportunities within the Westchester market, how could understanding reverse mortgage potentially fit into your broader long-term financial plan? Could it be a key piece in allowing you to age in place with greater confidence, security, and flexibility? And maybe most importantly, what further questions does all this information spark for you personally as you envision your own retirement journey right here in your Westchester home?